Welcome to our family service, and good to see friends with us as well there from Seekers Club and around and about. So welcome one and all. Now, we have been looking at some of the parables of Jesus, some of the parables that the Lord Jesus told. In other words, stories that he told, stories from everyday life, from nature, from different things that people do, and from which he takes some lessons that teach us something a bit about himself, ourselves, how we should find him, how we should respond to him. So, the parables of Jesus. And the parable that we're looking at today was the one that we were just reading a moment ago about a certain kind of tree. Can you remember what certain kind of tree it was that the parable was about, James? A fig tree. I don't know if anybody likes figs or not, whether those are something we enjoy, I don't know, at Christmas or whenever else. But they're very common in that part of the world, fig trees, and the fruit that come from it. Let's perhaps put one of that up first. There we are. There are some good ripening figs there. All right, so that's what these fruits look like. There's another picture there, the fruit, if you can see it there, growing up in the tree. Plenty of leaves, but plenty of fruit as well. So there is our fig tree, which I'll stick on here, with our handy blue tack. There it is, growing in the property, as the Lord Jesus tells this particular parable, the property there belonging to a man. We're not told the name of the man. We're not told anything other than there he was owning this particular fig tree. And was he very happy, the owner? Was he happy with his fig tree? What do you think, Robert? No, he wasn't, and very emphatically not. No, the fig tree was a massive disappointment to him. And so the figure that we've got here, I think, communicates that pretty clearly. There he is, looking very, very dissatisfied. So you just purchase something, and there you are. You're not looking very happy with it. So if our new inverted commas car breaks down in the next week, that'll probably be something of what I'll be looking at there. But there he is, this tree, which he has planted there, because fig trees are really very valuable things. The figs are a common part of the diet of the people there. They're very, very valuable. And this one's in a vineyard, because you could plant fig trees here and there and put them in different places and locations, and they would provide for your family. You could sell some of them as well if it was a really good tree. And you'd expect the first fruit to come more or less this time of the year, the end of June. The end of June is when you would expect your first crop of figs. And if your tree was really good, you'd expect another crop in August, and then another crop later on in the autumn. So a really good tree would have figs on it for about 10 months of the year. So really, this is quite something, isn't it, that you can get that amount of fruit from a really good fig tree. And so you can imagine the owner would have hoped that his fig tree would be one of those. 10 months of the year, fruit all the time. Okay, the fruit in the autumn isn't so nice as the first fruits, which are coming through at about this time of the year. But still, you could do something with it, even if, as sometimes they would do, they just leave the fruit on the tree, that last crop. But this tree, as we were thinking, was a great disappointment to the owner. There we are. There's the owner's name. But he has somebody who is what we might call the keeper. This was like an employee who was in charge of the vineyard, looking after it, pruning it, trying to make things grow better, looking after everything to keep away pests and make sure that the owner would get the best crop possible. So that was his responsibility. So here is the keeper with his spade there and a bag of fertilizer or something in his hand there to the side. There is this tree. Well, the owner, of course, comes to have a look again at this tree, because we learn quickly, don't we, from the dialogue that this has been going on a little while, that the owner has come, had a word with his keeper as he looked at this tree, and the big problem was, what? What was the problem with this tree, Robert? There are no figs on it. What use is a fig tree with no figs on it? And it wasn't a one-off. This tree was not shaping up well. The owner says, 3 years, 3 years, I have been coming to have a look at this tree, to inspect it. Imagine him sort of looking around in the branches, you know, sort of fumbling around, trying to see some sign of some fruit. And there's nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing in June, nothing in August, nothing in September, October, that time either. 3 years. Now, the owner, of course, he's got his land, and he wants to make the best use of it. Then if you've got a tree that's doing absolutely nothing, well, what's the best option for that? After 3 years, what's the best option for that, James? Get rid of it. Cut the thing down. It's using up valuable space. He says it to the keeper. You know, I've been coming for 3 years, no fruit. Why should we put up with it? It's just wasting space. I could have another fig tree here, which does produce fruit, or a totally different thing, perhaps some more vines, and they'd be growing and producing things for me. But instead, I've got this useless tree producing no fruit. Let's have done with it. Let's get rid of the thing, and then we can put something here which might actually produce some fruit for us. And that's what he said to the keeper, the man day by day who was in charge of this tree and the rest of the vineyard, trying to ensure a good return, good crops for the owner. So he, the keeper that is, puts in a plea for the tree. He puts a case, as it were, forward for not doing this. Let's not cut it down now. What does he request? What's the plea he makes, Robert? Well, that's right. We're going to do something with it. We're going to work hard on it. We're going to put fertilizer there. We're going to put whatever nutrients and growth supplements they could have had then in those days. And we'll give it how much longer? How much longer shall we give it? Do you remember? A year. One more year. The keeper sort of comes to a bit of a bargain with the owner. We'll give it another year. I'll work really hard on it, fertilize it, I'll put all kinds of things on it to try and encourage it to produce some fruit. And then after that year, if still there is nothing, that's it, we'll cut it down. If it's producing fruit, if that works, that's great. We're very happy with that, well and good. But if not, after that year, then we'll finish with it. We'll get rid of the tree altogether. So that's the parable. And it's interesting with the parable because we don't actually know the end of it. Does the tree get better or does it end up getting cut down? It's left sort of hanging in the air, that one. It's a story without an ending, you know, in that way. We don't quite know what was the ending of it. You know, you have to have a story, don't you? And you're sort of following the story and it ends on a sort of cliffhanger. And we're told, well, that's the end of it. We're not told whether it grew or whether it didn't grow. Well, I wonder what then. So that was the parable as the Lord Jesus Christ told it. There we are, we call it there. I should put that up, shouldn't I? The barren fig tree. The parable of the barren fig tree. Barren, it's not producing anything, it's fruitless. But of course, everything the Lord Jesus does, when he's talking about nature, well, we can understand about a fig tree. Well, okay, we haven't got fig trees in this country perhaps so much, but we can think of an apple tree that produces no apples or a pear tree producing no pears, that kind of thing. I think, well, what's the value of that? Chop the thing down, plant a new one, maybe that will do better. We can understand the picture. We can understand the story as far as it goes there with trees and things. But of course, the Lord Jesus hasn't come to talk about trees and figs so much, he's come to talk about us, people, what we're like, what our relationship with God is like. And so, as with these parables, you have to then begin to think, so what does all this mean? Who are these different characters? Who do they stand for? What's the fig tree? What does that stand for? What's going on here? And so it works a little bit like this. So if I can put my blue tack on this, we'll put this one up here. Because on the one hand, we've got the story, but then we've got what the story actually means. So just bringing us to that then. There we are, the parable. We have the owner, we have the fig tree, the missing fruit, the instruction, cut it down, the keeper or the dresser and his plea for the tree. You've got this year's reprieve, we're going to dig around it, we're going to fertilize it, and then a warning at the end. So, what's happening here? The meaning then, just to fold that one back, we can put that there. The owner, here we go. The owner is, of course, God. God. All of the world is the Lord's. All peoples that on earth do dwell, all of us, we are under God's watch, his instruction. He is the Lord over all. And here, these fig trees, well, what do you think those stand for? What do you think the fig tree is? If the owner is God, what's the fig tree? Yes, the Lord knows all about the vegetation, he does, but he's got a more serious point here, hasn't he? Who's this? Who do you think, Robert? It's us. Our lives, it's us. Robert, you see, he usually knows the answers, he does. He usually does. He's on the ball there. Our lives, the fig tree. It's us. And in a way, particularly, when the Lord Jesus was on earth and the people that he was speaking to, so if you remember, we started our reading in Luke there, him talking about some Galileans and there were thoughts that these people have been hard done by and that, and the Lord warned them, no, it's nothing to do with this. You've got to think about your life. Israel, the people of that day, they especially were like this fig tree. No fruit. They weren't listening. They weren't obeying God. There was no fruit. A fig tree there, missing fruit. I'm putting it in this way, we could put a lot of things to answer that question there. But putting it like that, no love for God. No love for God. No great interest or excitement or anything about the person of God. How we can serve him. What he's wanting. How we can please him with our lives. Just wasn't with the people of Israel then. Sadly, it's not with us either. We don't start off life with love for God. We begin life like the fig tree, bearing no fruit. That's us, actually, by nature. We don't love God as we should. We're not committed to him. We don't want what he wants above everything else. We tend to want what we want above everything else, not what God wants, not what God would have us to do. We disobey him, and we break his laws. And it's a very sad story. We don't bear fruit. We're like the fig tree, no fruit on it. And there was Israel, which summed that up. Israel was like the whole of mankind at its most typical way there. They didn't listen to him. They didn't respond to him. They ignored him. And there was his own son the Lord had sent. So here we go. It goes like this, doesn't it? There's instruction. Cut it down. End it. That could be God's verdict at any time on any one of us. It could have been his verdict on all of Israel. He showed mercy to many of them there, and we're glad of that, to be able to read that in the Bible. But there it is, we deserve judgment. We don't deserve his favor or his love. We deserve his judgment. We don't love him. We're not serving him. Years and years can pass by. We haven't even thought about him. And so that's one verdict. Cut it down. Finish it. Remove it. Get rid of it. Let's find something else to put there, something else that I can show my favor to. But then we have the keeper. And many people think this, that actually that's like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's justice. Justice would say, no fruit, that's it. Penalty, finished with. End. Cut it down. But the Lord Jesus has come to bring favor and mercy. And he, as it were, speaks there for Israel, the people of that day, and in a way for us all there. He's doing that which is necessary for us to be brought to God. So many people think the dresser could stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have a year's reprieve. What do you think the year's reprieve stands for? What do you think that stands for? Any thoughts on that? Well, it is an opportunity to turn. An opportunity to turn. To turn away from that. To look at ourselves, if you can imagine the fig tree looking at itself and saying, this is dreadful. I am producing absolutely no fruit. I am a fruitless tree. And trees can't quite think like that, but if we could imagine the tree was suddenly being shocked at itself, if we could imagine a sort of children's story, if you will, there being shocked at itself, then it's got no fruit. And that's completely hopeless. What will the owner think of me? I'll be chopped down. And so we have to think, putting ourselves now in the picture, we have an opportunity to turn. It's a wake-up call. Here we are, God's verdict on us, no fruit. No love for me. My verdict, cut it down. That's what the law says. The law will say, end. Nothing there, terminate. But we have an opportunity to turn. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you like, there has given us an opportunity to turn. We might also say, too, that part of all of this, you see, us being dug around here, our sins being dug out, that part of what's happening all around us is the witness of the church, our parents, other people in the church, there's God's word, all part of what's working on us in this opportunity, this reprieve that we have to listen. There we are, and we have the prayers of the Lord's people, all part of this, fertilizing it, and it has here the Savior's love added, bringing together all of this resource, all of this grace that God brings to people, all of us in a way. We've had Sunday school teachers who help us in at Seekers Club, and here we come to church and Christian parents and the ongoing witness of the church, and parents praying for you. God's word, day by day, that we can read. All of it is adding up to blessing. In this reprieve, God stays his hand of execution. It says, no, not yet. The day will come when, but not yet. Give them another chance. I'll speak to them again. I'll look to persuade them again. But look, turn to me. Turn away from this fruitlessness. See what you are, like a barren fig tree. And turn to me. There's the word there, which, of course, comes in so often, doesn't it? Repent. That's what it is, repent. It's when we change our view about ourselves and say, well, I'm not in a fit state to meet with God. I'm not producing fruit for him. I need to turn from this. I'm in a desperate place. Repent. There is Christ's love, which is ready to meet any penitent sinner, anybody who says, I am outside of God's love and favor. I need God's help. He died on the cross. Be able to bring us a sentence there. It was like he was cut down on the cross. It was like all the fruitlessness of us and ancient Israel there was his to have to experience when he died on the cross. As though God was saying of his own son, cut him down. You see his son there, and rather than see his son, he could see all the sinners that his son was dying for. Cut down their sins, end them there. And all the penalty of our sin that he bore there in great suffering and agony. So we have a Savior, and we can turn to him. But look, it ends a bit like on the warning, doesn't it? It ends with a warning. Well and good, the keeper says, if it responds to treatment, if it begins to bear some fruit, there's a bit of a change, well and good. But if still no fruit, all the years you go through and enjoy your last breath, still no repentance and no turning to Christ. That's the end. The decision then, cut it down, remains. It's issued then at the judgment throne. And we're cast out of God's presence. And there it says hell, doesn't it? Exclamation mark, hell. Warning. Well, you need to be awake to this. There's a warning in it there. It doesn't end happily. It ends very sadly. And so all that Christ has brought to us, all of his love dying upon the cross, that we may not be cut down. He was cut down in our place. He took the judgment that we deserved. He stood in the place of all those fruitless fig trees, all of us in that way, if we will believe in him. And so here we are, an opportunity to have a reprieve. It's as though today we're doing a bit more digging out of sin and a little bit more fertilizing, a bit more of the Word of God that any of us who might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ can turn to Him. Because the crop, of course, changes. The crop begins to change. And I've got some, well, I've got nine of these here. What do you think I've got here? The shapes of these are a bit of a giveaway, really. That one's quite a good one. There's a giveaway. What have we got there, do you think? What do you think, James? Fruit. And if I was to tell you the fruit of whom, which answer would you give to that? The fruit of the grace. If you will. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, we'll put that there. Which are these? Such things as love and joy and peace, long-suffering. Going on a bit better there, shall we? And goodness and meekness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Well, those are the fruit that now this barren fig tree, in other words, us, when we become Christians, that is a selection of the fruit that now God will find. Because when we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, when He's working in our hearts and He gets to work digging out the sins and He brings His own fertilizing influence there. For the loveless, there's love. The joyless have joy. Those without peace gain peace. And so it continues. Things, all of these things, which we could say, well, we find these difficult. We don't always love people. We sometimes hate people, we have to say to our shame. We often feel sad about everything and miserable about everything. No peace in our hearts. We're not patient with people. Lack goodness, meekness there, being humble. Well, we're not that. We fight back. We can be very, very unhelpful to people, very lacking in faithfulness, gentle. We can be harsh and rude and completely without self-control. We could talk about all those, couldn't we? They're much, much longer length. But those are the qualities that the Lord brings. And when He looks then at His fig tree, at us, our lives, rather than finding nothing, no love for God, no love for our neighbor, you'll find things which actually are things that God is already. He's full of love. God is actually full of joy. God is happy in that way, putting it like that without sounding trivial. Peace within the Trinity and all of those qualities that He shows towards us. We can say that so much of that is part of God's character in us. So there's the parable. And it ends, doesn't it, there, hanging in the air. Okay, if it works, it works. So if these things work, if you're hearing and believing, good. If you're hearing and not believing, well, maybe you've got another year, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know, maybe fewer. Who can say? We just don't know. And so the day is always today. Today is the day of salvation. Repent, turn from your sin, believe this good news of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we have a parable of the barren fig tree. Let it not be us.